My guest, Tony Massengale, spent 5 years as the assistant director in charge of field operations for the Community Youth Gang Services Project. It's a countywide community-based organization in Los Angeles and the largest non-law enforcement gang project in the country. Their work includes everything from graffiti removal to school and park-based work with kids and parents to organizing neighborhood watches. Since 1988, Massengale has been a freelance community organizer, trainer, and consultant to a variety of community organizations in L.A. We spoke to him earlier today from a Los Angeles church that he told us was functioning as a safe house and information network. I asked him if he thinks that many gangs have been rioting.
We estimate that not more than about 30% of the direct participants in the incidents out there have been gang members.
Yeah, but what percentage of the gangs are out there?
You could probably estimate that there are a high percentage of gangs and what might be called posses or small cliques from all of the neighborhood gangs. And so we're talking about beginning in South Central L.A., moving south all the way to Compton, and as far north as Hollywood and the San Fernando Valley. There's just widespread participation of young people who are gang affiliated. But again, they represent not more than about 30% of the overall participants in the looting and burning.
Do you think that the gangs are helping to lead it, or are they just mixed in there?
I don't think you could talk about this any of this in terms of leadership.
Uh-huh.
The center or core of the activity is simply an angry reaction. And from there, it spreads out to folk taking advantage of the opportunity to loot and to cause excitement or just to vent some frustration. There is also just a whole range of emotions that you pick up as you ride the streets out there.
So what have you been doing today?
I started out this morning helping to prepare some statements that would sum up what's going on in one part of the city with regard to what is now about 500 people who've decided to begin a rebuilding and cleanup process. It was a spontaneous reaction that started with Edward James Olmos, and we put out the call with him and are now coordinating about 500 people that are doing neighborhood cleanup. And so those are youth and residents and volunteers. Also, some people who've been burned out of their own homes have joined that effort. So I spent the morning working on that.
Have you spoken to anyone you know who has actually been in the streets, you know, looting or whatever? What did they say to you about why they were there?
A lot of the emotion at this point in the game is simply a reaction to the availability of free goods that are in those stores and shops. I think that mood is different from the mood that started two nights ago when people were literally angry at the response of the Rodney King verdict, which we have to add is a buildup of a year of frustration that actually didn't start with the King incident. It started with tension and conflict around the Sundaju verdict, the woman who shot the black female teenager, Latasha Harlins. So those tensions in the community of Sundaju not being sentenced to any jail time for the killing that was perpetrated on the young black female, the King verdict, those tensions fueled or at least ignited the reaction two nights ago. That was pure uncut anger, what we experienced out there. At this point in the game, the looting and the street activity, at least up until curfew last night, was so widespread. It was simply residents, be they black, Latino, white, local residents from the San Fernando Valley to Hollywood to South Central Los Angeles and Point South, taking advantage of the situation, taking what appeared to me to be a kind of a hopelessness. Gee whiz, we're already on the bottom. The stores are there. We might as well get some stuff because, frankly, after tonight, who knows what we'll have. The guard is coming in. The stores are already burned down. We might as well get what we can. So it's a little different kind of mood as of last night and this morning.
What about the violence? Have you spoken to anyone who's admitted to you that they were involved in beating someone up or, you know, hurting someone as part of the activity?
The first violence was the afternoon of the verdict. Within an hour or so of the verdict, the incident on Florence and Normandy, where the truck driver was pulled out of his truck and beaten, where other cars were stopped and people who looked white or were white were attacked. That was some of the first violence, and we can safely say that those were street gang-involved young people who initiated that. And that's why we were fearful that that kind of activity would spread. The bottom line is that it didn't. You have to understand that the gangs in Los Angeles are not known for being timid. We had 771 gang-related homicides in L.A. County last year. They are well-armed, and they are in the business not so much of dealing drugs, not so much of committing crimes of opportunity, but for violence. Gang banging is what we call it out here. And so what we were afraid of was that that kind of violence would become the order of the day. The bottom line is that it didn't. And so that's why we're able to say that we know the street gangs themselves are not as involved as one might think in this whole situation.
I want to get back to something we were talking about a little earlier. Do you think that there's almost a peer pressure to participate in the rioting now?
A peer pressure? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that to assume that the only stream of sentiment in South Central Los Angeles and other parts of the city that are impacted, to assume that the only sentiment is let's get all we can, let's get involved in the negatives that are going on, is to miss the point. The very large majority of people in South Central Los Angeles are not feeling very good at all about what's going on. They do not support this kind of reaction. It's not to say they're not angry. They're angry about a lot of things. They're angry at a lot of official stuff that has missed it over the years. They're angry at the most recent judicial decisions here in the area. But they are channeling that anger in a different way. And so while you see a lot of people on television who are doing a lot of stuff, that is still a small part of this city.
Do you live in a neighborhood where there's been a lot of looting?
Although I was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles, I now live in a L.A. suburb called Pasadena. And Pasadena has been known for being not only an integrated community, but a community that was a pleasant place to live. I have to report to you that last night, a half a block from my house, a small store and some adjacent buildings were burned to the ground. I got reports that other acts of vandalism and burning had also occurred in the city. So it's spread to just a number of outlying areas, including my town.
I'm wondering if you think that this is affecting, if this is adding tension to whites and African Americans who are friendly with each other. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if even in communities or among friends in which there is a real relationship, if the tensions of the past few days is kind of adding tension into those relationships?
I think the short answer is yes. I think that the longer view is going to indicate that people are going to try that much harder to stay in communication, to try to understand, to try to reestablish the common ground that we've discovered in the recent years, and to try to build on that. I think, that kind of desire and that kind of will, and I don't think we'll lose the relationships that have been built up over the years. In my opinion, what we're experiencing has a lot to do with the community building that had begun in Los Angeles, but had never been completed. You've got over 100 different ethnic groups represented here, and you've got just a lot of people who are on the bottom of the economic ladder, and they're all colors. And those are the people who are most represented out in the looting that's going on. And it just speaks to the need to begin the community building just as soon as possible. The job is just hasn't been done here in Los Angeles, and we've assumed a lot of things. We've glossed over a lot of things, and we've discounted what people are feeling and thinking about what's going on at some of the upper levels of government and business. And bottom line is that people have been neglected and overlooked and discounted. And they're sending us a message that they're not going to be overlooked indefinitely. So I think we've got a lot of work to do here in L.A.
Let me just ask you, what's the most disturbing thing you've seen in the past couple of days?
I think the most disturbing thing for me has been the willingness on the part of some merchants to begin to pick up arms and engage in a kind of a military posture to protect their shops and to protect themselves out on the street. A violent response on the part of citizens begets more violent responses, and those kind of tendencies can escalate the situation. And I'm referring specifically to the Korean merchants who you might have caught on national TV.
Well, you know, I was wondering, since their faces have been on national TV, I was wondering if you knew if there was any talk about revenge on the street to try to track the people who, you know, everyone saw their faces.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And if I were one of those people who was shown on TV with a gun, I'd be pretty worried about my life right now.
Well, it gives some indication, Terry, that people are at a desperate point, and we can understand them being very concerned not only about their businesses,
but about their lives.
But their lives, because of the tension between particularly the Black and Korean communities here in L.A. On the other hand, that kind of response we know is not a good signal, because just like they've got 38s and automatic weapons, other people do too. And it sends the wrong kind of signal just across the board. So we're hoping that we don't see more of that kind of situation out on the street. If we get down to a question of street violence or street vigilantism, if you will, the reactions are going to be uncontrollable. That's the only thing that hasn't happened up till now, and that is the interpersonal violence, if you will, that could have been an aspect of this whole scene. It's been minimal. We've only had 31 deaths so far, and with all of that territory taken into account, with the thousands of fires that have been set, we've only had 31 deaths. So I'm counting our blessings where that's concerned, and I'm suggesting that 31 is small relative to what we've got here in L.A.
Tony Massengale is a community organizer in Los Angeles. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.